Hello and welcome to today's episode of Own Your Health with me, Katie Brindle, founder of the Hey You Method and well-being expert cited by Forbes magazine as the wellness expert you need to know and as Hello magazine, healer to the stars. So in today's episode, we are going to be talking all about menopause and depression. But before any gentlemen listeners suddenly tune out and think, hang on a minute, that's nothing to do with me, I'm going to bring that into middle age. Before we go into the nuts and bolts of today's episode, I just want to draw your attention to a really brilliant supplement that I know and love and endorse and have talked to many people about, and it's called MenoFriend by Dr. Vegan. Now, so many people are suffering from their menopause these days, and there's so much information out there about HRT, the pros and the cons and all the rest, but this is a really good natural alternative to HRT or in addition to. And over 40,000 women have tried and endorsed this product, so it's not just me talking about it. There are many, many thousands of people talking about this product. It's really, really good. It works across a swathe of menopausal symptoms like brain fog, hot flushes, night sweats. And what you've got here is a wonderful natural formula, which is totally award-winning. So it's been endorsed not just by 40,000 women, but it's also been endorsed by some awards at the same time. And trust me, there is fierce competition in this marketplace. So it's really, really important to follow these awards and the advice of other women and me, myself, because I've taken this supplement and I think it's really good, which is why I wanted to share it, because it's one of the ones that has kind of stood the test of time in my cabinet, because often I find I can end up buying these supplements and then I haven't really noticed a difference and then I don't take them. But this one makes the cut. So if you're suffering from menopausal symptoms, please, please, please give this one a try and join forces with these 40,000 other people that have been talking about it. And aside from all of this brilliant accolades, the other thing I love about Dr. Vegan is obviously in the name, it's vegan, and that's always good because it's cruelty-free, but also it's planet-friendly because the way that they package the supplements is all of that can biodegrade naturally at the end. So it's all recyclable. So that's also really good. And it's pocket friendly because they're giving us a 25% discount. Thank you, Dr. Vegan. So if you just shove in Brindle25 at checkout, then you will receive a 25% discount off your purchase. So thank you very much. So there we go. That was a little explanation as to why I think this menopausal supplement is worthy of your interest. And now let's get back to the episode. So you've had lots of lovely messages come in this week about the podcast, and I always do enjoy reading them out and doing a few shout outs. So if you are on TikTok, Instagram or YouTube, feel free to put your comments there. And also you can email us now. So it is ownyourhealth@katiebrindle.com. And please write private if you would not like us to share the comment. But in the meantime, do also please rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And now I can share your comments. So Jenny says, I love Philippa Gregory books too. If anyone's wondering what that comment is about, it was on a sleep post recently where I was helping you with some sleep advice. And I was reading my Philippa Gregory because one of the best things you can do for your sleep is read a book before you go to bed. Not, she says, looking at the team around her, scroll through your phones, which is what we all end up doing. And everyone's looking really guilty, going, we all look through our phones. Please put your phones down and read a book. It is so good for your sleep hygiene. Amy says, I just tried the pressure point on your foot for stress and it definitely reduced my anxiety. Thank you. Yay, I know. This stuff works. That's why we tune in twice a week to listen to the advice, because I promise you, it wouldn't have stood the test of time if it didn't work. And actually, I wouldn't really sit here talking about it if I didn't believe it were true. I mean, I really would go and do something else. So let's all join in the revolution and actually trust that this stuff might actually be useful for you. In the meantime, Med Witchy Woo says, thank you for your natural remedy for sweat rashes. I get sweat eczema, which gets really sore and irritating. So I will try this. Well, Med Witchy Woo, let us know how you get on. These household remedies are incredibly useful. I put a lot of them up on my TikTok and Instagram because I have a kind of a mini kitchen going on up in my bathroom. There's all sorts of products that I keep up there for my physical health, like apple cider vinegar, castor oil. I have coconut fat, turmeric, baking powder or baking soda, sorry, if you're American, that is bicarbonate of soda. All these ingredients I have up in my bathroom. I have a couple of manky old mugs that have had their sort of handles broken, and I have a couple of those sort of brushes, pastry brushes, which I use, which are made of sort of a synthetic material, so they're easy to wash. And they come in handy. I make them all the time. Tea tree oil is another ingredient I have up there permanently. These are really useful things for you to have, and they're good in your emergency toolkit. So in the meantime, let's move on to the topic of the day. So today's topic is all about depression, but it's specifically targeted to depression in the menopause. Now, as I said in the intro, please don't tune out if you're either A, not menopausal, or B, you're a man, so you think it doesn't apply to me. It does. Because I'm going to explain to you today why this kind of moment in our aging process that probably starts around 40 can often trigger episodes of depression that either happened when you were younger or you've never had before. Now, there's another topic I've talked about in this way, which is acne. I have a lot of people in clinic come to me and they say, I've got acne. I never had spots when I was a child, and I've got them now, and I'm in my 40s or 50s or even 60s. And depression is a similar thing. Now, why? Well, let's first of all explain what depression is doing to the body, and then why it seems to be exacerbated at this sort of middle-age point or by the menopause, because it's all connected. Well, the first thing to say about depression, in Eastern medicine, everything is controlled by what we call the five viscera. Now, the viscera is a posh word for organs, okay? Now, the five key organs, it's like a chessboard, and they are the heart, the spleen, the lung, the kidney, and the liver. And they're called, in Chinese medicine, the five viscera, and they rule the roost. They are like the ministers of government, actually commanding the entire functions of your body, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Now, when we're dealing with mental health, from a Chinese perspective, this is emotional. Now, actually, it then also can become physical because you can have physical symptoms, but it's also spiritual because often we will find, especially when it hits us in middle age, that it's often loss of purpose, which can really start chiming in on the physical reasons as to why perhaps it's affecting us in the first place. And often we find as we get to our middle age plus that we've lost our direction or that our life has become meaningless or things that we were striving for when we were younger, perhaps we've had, and yet they're not bringing us the happiness that they thought that they would, or that the whole thing seems a bit pointless. So there's quite a mix of the three different layers of health and healing, which can get caught up in the crossfire of the catch-all expression of depression, which can then be exacerbated by the moment of the body's sort of evolution of middle age and the symptoms that we call the menopause as well. So depression fundamentally is something which we will use in the liver. Okay, the liver is the primary organ of depression. Then the lungs will get involved in the crossfire, so they're getting caught up too. But when we're dealing with middle age and menopause and depression, we've got to go slightly further back still. So we don't start with the liver. We start with the kidneys. Now, remember, anyone listening, if you're interested and you're at your desk or a phone, you can always refer to my free fact sheets on my website where I go into all of the information about these organs to give you extra information. But let's just scroll back for a minute. We start the journey at the kidneys. Why? Well, because the kidneys are responsible for the aging process. That is one of their key functions. Yes, they have a responsibility to the whole urinary system of the body. But in Chinese medicine, they have deeper responsibilities. And the 7-year cycle of life, which is the aging process that we all go through, is housed by the kidneys. Now, the kidneys also are either side of your spine, sort of literally sitting in the lower back just under the rib cage. That's basically their positions. If you put your hands just under your ribs in your lower back, that's where your kidneys sit. And imagine them like a couple of organs, sort of with strong frequency, holding up kind of this column of your body, because that's really what they're doing. They're like these two kind of Doric columns holding up this temple that houses your Shen and houses your blood and houses the evolution of your soul. And they're like these amazing columns holding everything up. Now, when you're young, these kidneys are full of energy. They're full of what we call qi, and they're strong. And if anyone listening to this middle age plus would like to scroll back to your kind of late teens, early 20s, most of you will probably think that that was an age in your life where you felt that you had really amazing energy, that you could work all night and party all day or vice versa, and still sometimes have energy to spare. You felt invincible. And as we go through the aging process, that's no longer the case. You start to feel tired. Everyone seems to be tired and overwhelmed. Now, that is the kidneys, literally like a mobile phone, being drained of their batteries through being used on a daily basis for all of the different things that the kidneys are responsible for and getting drained. And then what then happens is they're no longer full of this amazing life force energy, and then everything starts to weaken. And when they start to weaken, things start to happen. Now, the first thing that starts to happen is we start to feel tired and weak and unsteady. We often get hair loss. We often get ringing in the ears. We often get aches and pains in our bones. We often wake up in the morning feeling a bit tired. We're often dragging ourselves through the afternoon, which is the kidney time. And often our sleep gets impacted as well. And everything starts to just kind of crumple. And when you look at the overall weakening of the kidneys all the way into elderly years, what will then happen is the body will cease to look like a Greek temple, all strong and vigorous and sort of upright like this. And the body will curve in on itself. And then the spine starts to curve, then the shoulders kind of hunch, the head tends to go down, and we start to move back into a sort of position of in vitro, where the body kind of curves itself back in again, rather than standing upright, which is what happens when we're full of energy. Now, this has a physical representation, which is the body starts to show signs of aging, but so does the energy and the blood of the body as well. It starts to weaken. And one of the things that happens then is with this weakening of the kidneys are then no longer able to feed their child organ, which is the liver. Now, here we go. So this aging process, and just to recap to the kidneys for a second, one of the main things that absolutely obliterates your kidneys, if you're thinking, well, what is this aging process doing to them, is stress, which basically everybody is these days, and overwhelming, burning the candle at both ends. And it is the sheer volume of things that we have to get through on a daily basis to get from one end of the day to the other that ultimately is exhausting the kidneys. Okay, and then the chronic stress response that we're going through, everybody, from the minute we wake up in the morning to the minute we go to sleep at night. This constant, always on, rushing around, and the expectations that we are like machines, because we're not machines. Probably in another 50 years, machines will indeed have completely taken over. But right now, we will say to each other, I'm not a machine. I'm not actually a machine, you know, I'm not a machine. I can't actually do all this. And yet we're expected to work like a machine. So we're at that sort of tipping point in history. So what's happening is this stress response and the vast amount of things that we're expected to do on a daily basis is weakening the kidneys, weakening them directly. And in terms of weakening them directly, the kidneys have this ability and this process of balancing our hormones. Now, hormonal balance is really important when we're talking about the menopause. It's also really important when we're talking about the aging process, full stop. But the next thing that we then think about is where I was going just now, which is the kidneys have a child and it's the liver. If you look at the generating circle of energy, it goes from the heart to the spleen, to the lungs, to the kidneys, to the liver, to the heart. And that is how the energy feeds itself in a circle. And if that nutritious circle isn't full and strong, then it starts to weaken and it starts to decrease as it's going round and round the circle. So as the kidneys are getting exhausted and tired and stressed and overwhelmed, it's having a direct relationship with their ability to directly balance these hormones, which is what's going to affect the menopause. And then it has a direct impact on the next organ that we need to understand when we're talking about depression. And that is the liver. Because when we talk about the emotional responsibilities of the organs, the first organ where depression hits is the liver. It will then subsequently go into the lungs, which I'll come on to later. But the first primary organ of depression is liver. Now, the liver is fed by the kidney. So if the liver isn't being fed nice, strong energy by its mummy, it's going to start to kick off and all sorts of things will start to happen. The liver is responsible for regulating our emotions and regulating our hormones. And if that regulation process isn't taking place, then what starts to happen is the energy of the liver starts to stagnate. And it's called liver qi stagnation. And the reason I've given it its sort of semi-English Chinese expression is because when we come into Chinese medicine, liver qi stagnation and the 21st century modern person is literally hand in glove. Pretty much every single patient I have ever met in clinic, without barely any exception whatsoever, has liver qi stagnation. Because what's happening in the modern world is the liver likes to like to swing like a pendulum. It likes to go tom, ti tom, ti tom, ti tom. It likes to look at the horizon. It likes to walk. It likes to go with the flow. It likes the arms to be swung. It likes the feet to feel on the ground. And we don't. We sit in public transport. We get stopped by traffic lights. We get interrupted all the time. If we're focusing on a piece of work, often we'll get sidebars and interruptions. It's taken me quite a long time to reduce all of the notifications on all of my different devices. I've had to actively stop every single one of them, because if you don't actively stop, things ping in constantly. My phone is permanently on silent, so that I'm not constantly hearing bing, 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 because it makes your liver go ah, 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 ah. It's really exhausting. I also look at the horizon as much as I possibly can. And if I'm in an office and there isn't a horizon, I put a picture of a horizon and I look at that instead, because livers like to look at the horizon and they don't get to do it very much. Livers like to walk, and now they sit in transportation, cars, buses, trains, and life whizzes by and it gets the liver all stressed. The liver will now look at television screens instead of countryside. And often if what you're watching on the television screen is violent or scary or aggressive or assertive, and you're doing that last thing at night before you go to sleep, when the energy is moving into your liver's suffering and it's being fed a toxic swamp from its mother. So it's not surprising that after, say, 30, 40, 50 years of this, that your livers are starting to kick off and they're starting to, guess what, feel unhappy. Of course they are. When I put it like that, you're probably wondering, it's a miracle you feel as positive as you do. Because actually, it sounds so bad when you put it all together, because we've lost this brilliant ancient wisdom, which is so easy to implement once you understand what it's doing. So it's really important to regulate the flow of this liver. It's really important to offset the stress response. And therefore, by doing these simple things, you can start to strengthen these organs up at root before they start to crumble and start to weaken and then start to show that they're unhappy. And the thing that happens with the human body is that often what will happen with what we refer to in the West as mental conditions, as opposed to what we would understand in the East as housed energy flow conditions, which are manifesting themselves at different frequencies. The highest of the frequency, like the triangle in the orchestra, is your spiritual health. That middling frequency, which is like that middle band of energy, are your feelings. And that's what depression is in its first instance. It's a feeling. You feel low. You feel low. And then what happens is it settles. Then what happens through this process of what we call sublimation, where something goes from very, very ethereal and light to that sort of middle band, and then eventually it becomes like sediment, settling into the actual physical aspects of the body. And this is why it's so important to understand that the organs control all of it. Because by the time the liver has been fed this toxic swamp of bad lifestyle habits, okay, what then happens is the liver then starts to show that it's not happy. In the lightest of symptoms, it will sigh. Oh, we go, oh God, oh, that's your liver. That's your liver releasing toxic energy. After that, what will happen is the liver will start to show depression because it's not happy. Okay, it's unhappy because it's being fed the wrong things. So what then happens is it starts to lower its frequency. It starts to go down. It starts to look, for those of you watching, and if you're not, I'm looking a bit like Garfield, okay, for that mental image. I'm going like this. Literally think of Garfield. That's your liver going, now I know Garfield, I've got a cat, and I always say my cat. She looks just like Garfield. She's like, you humans, you're such imbeciles. What are you doing? So she a bit looks like that. But Garfield also looks a bit like our liver feels when it's starting to show depression. It's just a bit, everything's closing down. It's a bit like Chicken Little. The sky is kind of coming in on us. We can't see the light. Now that gets exacerbated in menopause and middle age because the hormones are starting to get caught up and hormonal changes cause this liver energy to stagnate. And that in turn can cause mood swings, and it can cause irritability, and it can cause anger, and it can cause depression. So it's like a double whammy. It's a bit of a nightmare. But the good thing is that we can do quite a lot about sorting it out. Now, the final bit, because the kidneys and the liver are the main organs that we need to be thinking about, and I've explained them at length, but the heart and the spleen and the lungs, which are the other five viscera, are also getting caught up in this. Now, the heart in Chinese medicine is responsible for something called the Shen. Now, the Shen is your emotional well-being. And your emotional well-being, again, remember that we don't attribute this to the mind. Okay, we're attributing this to the body and then the mind is following through. Now, the Shen, for your body to be happy and full of the joys of spring and eyes sparkling and smiling and laughing like we did when we're kids with that kind of unbridled joy. She says, reaching for Vic's water bottle here, which I grabbed as a prop. Now, I'm holding a water bottle, which is about a third, just over a third gone, okay? So what happens when you're young and happy and everything's positive is this water bottle is full. This is like a human body full of blood. And the house of the Shen is the blood, and that's controlled by the heart. And when the blood is full, you've got this full temple flowing around the body with everything strong and vital and positive. Now, when we age, that blood starts to deplete, because the depletion process is taking place, and this is an energetic concept, okay? It's not like you've got less blood circulating your body, but what we've got energetically is that it's depleting, which means there's less of it to go around. So what then happens is the body in turn will start to reduce things down because it doesn't have enough volume for it to actually flow smoothly around the body. So it's really, really important to keep the heart positive. And the thing is, often what happens is our heart gets broken, it gets bruised, it gets damaged, it gets saddened, okay? It starts to feel pain. And then in turn, what happens is it starts to affect the flow of blood around the body. And that can often lead to things like anxiety and insomnia. And then when you're not sleeping properly, that affects the kidneys and that affects the liver. And the liver is then not flowing its energy into the heart. And the whole thing is circulating around the body. And that in turn also impacts the spleen. The spleen is very much an organ, which is then in turn fed by the heart, which is fed by the liver, which is fed by the kidney, and round we're going. And the spleen is responsible for the management and the production of this blood and this energy around the body. And the spleen in turn is mopping up the symptoms of anxiety, and it's mopping up worry, which is one of its main things. And in turn, this will exacerbate depression. That's really why depression can be one of these things that can really impact us in these middle-aged years / menopause, because basically these organs are getting absolutely clobbered by our lifestyles. And all we need to do is strengthen up the kidneys, smooth over the liver flow, and improve the deficiencies of the heart and the spleen, and then boom. Everything is then going to start going into a virtuous circle, and we can start to help ourselves. And the great thing about this episode, and all the episodes actually, the great thing about all this, every single thing I tell you in Own Your Health, what am I saying, this episode, everything in this podcast, everything you're listening to, is because you can take matters into your own hands and do a lot about it. Now, I'm not saying don't go and see your doctor. And if you're on medication, I'm not saying chuck it all away and just do this instead. But what I'm saying is use these lifestyle tips to help yourself. So what do we need to do? Well, the first thing is we need to ensure that the kidneys are happy. So the first and foremost of all of the health tips that I will ever give anyone is you need to have a rest. And funnily enough, if you're listening to this, you're probably thinking, actually, a rest would be really nice. Actually, I could do with a rest. Because that's what people always say to me in clinic. They're tired. That's literally what everyone says. And often when you're tired the most is the middle of the afternoon. Ah, well, the middle of the afternoon is the perfect time to take a break. It really, really is. In fact, in many cultures in the world, people actually have break times. They have elongated lunch hours, they have siestas, or in certain countries, e.g. Japan, they actually have quiet spaces where you can go and take a 20-minute break, because they recognise that their employees work extremely hard and they understand this kind of lifestyle advice because it's very entrenched in their culture and it's allowed. And in enlightened businesses in the UK, which is where I'm broadcasting from, this is starting to come in. And if it's not and you're in an office, I urge you to ask for one. That doesn't mean everyone gets to lounge around on beanbags all afternoon not working, but what it means is that it's absolutely okay for you to go and have a 20-minute exit from the pressures of the afternoon to have a rest. Just like it's okay for smokers to go outside and have cigarettes, or it's okay for you to go and get yourself a cup of coffee, or it's okay for you to go and get some lunch. It's okay to give yourself a kidney break in the middle of the afternoon, because the health benefits that you get from it will offset so many illnesses that then sign so many employees off, because it's a really, really simple solution. So a break in the afternoon. If you're at home, put it into your diary. If you're in an office, request a quiet space in the office that you can go to. If all else fails, if there's a quiet space that you can go to or anywhere that you can vacate for just 20 minutes or even just 5 minutes or even just 2 minutes, it will make a difference. Other things, there's loads of advice about what to do for your kidney on the kidney fact sheet, which is free and it's on the website. But for those of you that don't kind of want to go over there to do that, the best thing for your kidneys is a rest in the afternoon. But also the next best thing for your kidneys is a regular checkout from the crazy, always on, non-stop stress response that we're going through all throughout the day from the minute we wake up to the minute we go to sleep. So the thing that I always talk about is Mindfulness Bell, which is this beautiful app. It's free and it has these gongs. And these gongs can simply be programmed to play into your phone every 15 minutes or 30 minutes or hour. And what these gongs do is they suddenly chime through your phone and that is your moment to remind yourself that you need to take a slow breath. So let's just do it with me now. So you simply just relax. You just breathe in slowly. You linger at the top of the breath. And you breathe out slowly. You can sigh. That will actually help even more. And you linger at the bottom of the breath. And if you can, you want to do that 3 or 4 times. But once alone will do the trick. Now, the thing about that lovely breath is it totally works. But you need to be reminded to do it. Because I promise you, even though I'm telling you to do it now and you're thinking, oh my gosh, that's so fantastic, I need to do that all the time, we forget. So that's a really useful thing to do. The next really good piece of advice, which will work for the kidneys and the liver, is tapping. So this is the body tapper, which is the tool that you can use, which is available on the Hey You method. And all you do is you tap all over the body with this tapper, like this. And what this is doing is it's smoothing that all important liver qi stagnation. But the other thing that it does, as well as get rid of that horrible stagnation, which we don't want, we want the smooth flow of qi and blood around the body, and that will immediately have a positive impact on you. But the other thing that this does is it encourages the stem cells. Now, the stem cells are deep essential cells which are held in the long bones of the body, and they are under the command of your kidneys. So what you do when you're doing this tapping is you're tapping all over the long bones. You're releasing and activating these wonderful stem cells. And at the same time as doing this technique, you want to do the slow breath that I've just taught you. Why? Because the one organ that I haven't really talked about that much in this episode is your lungs. And the lungs are what feeds the kidney. So the lungs mother the kidney. So what does that mean? Kidneys get nourished by breath. And the breath is what comes in via the lungs. So all you need to do is tap the body, breathe slowly, and all of a sudden you're strengthening the liver, the kidneys, via the lungs. And lungs, by the way, themselves directly benefit from slow considered breaths, because what the lungs like are slow considered breaths. And what the lungs tend to get are short little breaths, because we're subconsciously breathing, not consciously breathing. And when we're stressed, our breath shortens, our pulse rate goes up and everything becomes negative. So this process of slow breathing, tapping the body, moving the liver energy, in turn then starts to nourish these other organs getting caught up in the crossfire, which is the heart and the spleen. Because then what's happening is these deeper organs are being therefore nourished by positive lung energy, which mothers positive kidney energy, which mothers positive liver energy, which mothers positive heart energy, which mothers positive spleen energy. And round the cycle we're going, having a really good time. Now, there are also some really good foods which you can do to nourish your kidney yin. I love to promote adduki beans. Mushrooms are fantastic mushroom supplements. There's a load of them on my website. They're fantastic. Snow fungus is really good. Anything kidney shaped, if your meat eaters actually eating kidneys, is really good. Water chestnuts are really good. Lotus root is really good. Seeds, nuts, nut milk, all of these things are all really, really good for strengthening the kidneys. The other thing that is really good for strengthening the kidneys and the liver and the heart and the shen and the blood and the energy and is meditation. Now, meditation is an extension of me saying to you, have a rest in the afternoon. If you want to really, really go into an elixir of rest, this is what I do on the Healing Circle, where we gather and I feed a half hour meditation live into the group, which aligns itself into the energy frequency of the month. So it's a really, really specific, targeted and very relaxing half hour. And it's totally blissful. But before you start paying for anything, there's various meditations on my website and on YouTube, which are free. I'm actually recording one this afternoon. So there are all sorts of meditations that I will offer you for free as well. And they are the absolute elixir of self-care. Now, many people go, oh, I've tried meditation and it doesn't work. And I understand that. So just a brief note on meditation before I leave you in today's episode is that one of the biggest problems with meditation, which is so good for depression, okay, and the menopause and, is that we are so strung out that we then think that we've got to go from A to Z straight away. We've got to go from this always on, bam, 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 everything's happening at once. And then I'm going to just put that down, close my eyes, and as if by magic, I'm going to go into a total Zen-like state. And funnily enough, I can't. Of course you can't, because your monkey mind is completely revved up because you've got to go at a million miles an hour in order to get through the day. And it's very difficult for your monkey mind to just switch off just like that. So one of the easiest things I recommend that you do before you start your meditation journey is to tap the body, as I've shown you, so that you're meeting your body in its agitated state by using a percussive technique, which is kind of agitating in a healthy way. Because percussion is kind of what your body feels like. It's like bing, 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 because your body's feeling bing, 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 bing. So then what you do is you tap to start with, and then you put your tapper down. And then what I start, because I've asked you to slow your breath whilst you're doing the tapping, by the time you've finished a couple of minutes, and I would recommend you tap to a kind of nice tune that you're in the mood to listening to, so that you do it for the 3 minutes of that song, like tap, 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 by which time you're starting to relax. And then you put your tapper down, and now you start to shimmy. Now the shimmy is really easy. You just literally just jiggle the shoulders. If you're sat down, which I am, you just jiggle the shoulders. If you can stand up for this, you can just start to jiggle the whole body. And now that shimmy starts to just get the energy slowing down. So rather than going like this, which is what it probably feels like, it's going, and you start sighing whilst you're doing it. And you'll start to notice that the body will relax. Slow the breath. And then after a little while, sit yourself down. And then just allow that shimmy to take place. Keep the breath slow. By this point, you'll be starting to think, oh, you know what? I quite fancy closing my eyes. Ha ha, we've got you. Right, and then you can close your eyes. And then you can slow your breath. And then you can put your hands on your lower belly. And then you can smile like Mona Lisa. And then you can start to stop the shimmy. And at this point, you can start to take your attention down to your lower belly where you feel your hands. And at this stage, you can just start to breathe slowly. And now you're going into meditation. The key thing to say about today is that depression is extremely common. It is also increasing as we're aging because the aging process is annihilating our kidneys. And remember, this is a sort of 21st century thing, because this time 100 years ago, if you're reaching sort of middle age plus, the death rate at that stage was quite high. And I don't have the statistics to hand, but I can assure you, just off the top of my head, although if someone wants to tell me they can, that the death rate in 1924 versus 2024, in terms of the age, the average life expectancy was a lot lower then than it is now. So therefore, we're starting to notice these things, because in the olden days, you may not have been here at all. So these life extending practices are extremely important now, because if we're likely to live to where sort of 85, 90, or whatever age we're going into, we need to preserve our health. So it's a really important thing to understand that the depression is your body telling you something. James is about to say something.
It's about 50 years in 1924.
There you go.
80 plus now.
There you go. Thank you, James. The font of all knowledge over there. 50. Well, that was me gone. I'm the oldest person in this room. By quite a long way. 50. This time, my God, that is useful information. This time 100 years ago, 50 versus well into your 80s now. That is incredible. So this is why it's so important to do this. You wouldn't even, your kidneys wouldn't have even been here to have this problem. This is a 21st century problem with a 21st BC solution. Because remember, this information is old. So please do review this on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify. Please leave your comments if you're on TikTok or YouTube or Instagram. And of course, please do email in at ownyourhealth@katiebrindle.com. Please mark your email confidential or private if you don't want us to read your comments out. But hopefully this episode is going to help you with some really, really simple exercises. All of the tools are available on the Hey You Method, and loads of these practices and all of the organ fact sheets and a fact sheet and a masterclass on depression is all available on my website. Thank you for joining me.